2SER Breakfast.
Well, we've been bringing you quite a few highlights from the Queer Screen Mardi Gras Film Festival, and the one I want to talk about today is a really quite powerful documentary called Boys for Sale. It takes an astoundingly raw look at the world of young male sex workers in Tokyo, candid interviews, even animations being used to give you what I think is probably a really unique glimpse into this sort of underground life. Now, it's showing tomorrow night at Event Cinemas, and producer Ian Thomas Ash is in town for the film festival screening, and indeed in the studio. Ian, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. Hey, so I know you've been in Tokyo for about 15 years now. Where did you first discover this kind of culture of, and I'm going to mangle the word for it, urusen?
Urusen.
Yeah, where did you first hear about this?
I was actually researching a documentary that I was going to do about somebody else, and she said to me one night, do you want to go for a drink? And we went for a drink to a very small bar, and there were like maybe seats for 10 or 12 people, and there were like 10 bartenders. And I was like looking at the ratio between customers and bartenders and thinking, wow, that's really unusual. And as it turns out, the guys were all for sale.
It's just amazing. And like, you really got close to these people. Like, and they're telling you some very, well, confronting stories.
Yeah. So the director of photography, Adrian Story, and I were doing the research for about a year and going to these bars just as customers, having drinks, talking with the guys, trying to develop relationships with the managers and the owners and with the guys themselves, and to try to think about if we did try to ask them to do a documentary, what that film would look like and what it would be about.
Well, I know on the website for Boys for Sale, you've actually got some of the deleted scenes that weren't used, and they're quite powerful as well.
Yeah, thank you very much. There was just so much good stuff. We were filming for over a year, and you know, in 76 minutes, you can only tell so many stories, and so we wanted to sort of put out some things that didn't make it into the film, but were, you know, interesting.
I thought what was interesting to me is I know, you know, some of the boys talk about sort of the hardships that have led them to this, you know, and Fukushima comes up, and you've done documentaries about that. It was a weird pairing of your work, wasn't it?
Yeah, wow, thank you very much. You've done a lot of research and watching my things. Yeah, so I actually for this film I was not the director, I was the producer.
That's
but
right.
As a director, I have also made two films in Fukushima about children that were affected or being affected by thyroid issues. My background is doing all films on medical and health issues. And actually, Adrian Story, who's the director of photography, was doing work with a graffiti artist who was doing anti-nuclear activities in Tokyo. And so Adrian and I both met through doing these kinds of films about the Fukushima nuclear disaster. And then when we set out to do this film about male sex workers, it never occurred to either of us that there would be this connection to this disaster. And basically what it tells us is that, you know, when you think about groups of vulnerable people that are affected after wars or natural disasters, we usually think of those as being women, young children, and yet these young men were also affected, and many of them lost their homes and lost their jobs and ended up in Tokyo working as sex workers.
Well, Boys for Sale was quite a departure from where you've previously been working. What was it like not directing and stepping back to take that kind of EP role?
I loved it. It was amazing. I've been making films for almost 15 years, and to kind of be in a facilitating role. An example of that would be the director said that he wanted to use shamisen music. Shamisen is this traditional Japanese instrument. And I was thinking to myself, that is just not going to work. And yet my job, if I was going to tell him no, then I should just direct it myself. And so I know a shamisen player. So I called him up and I said, hey, can you do some sample tracks? I'm going to lay it down on the film and show the director that it doesn't work. And so he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. So send me some tracks, lay it down on the film. It works beautifully. And, you know, it's a great learning experience for me as well. So I had a fun time facilitating things.
I was certainly surprised by the animations, the anime manga style. If you'd explained that to me, I would have thought, well, that's going to detract. But it doesn't.
Exactly. I mean, there were so many things that we couldn't actually film. Like, for example, we couldn't film the boys with the actual clients. And so we were thinking, and we were working, you know, the director of photography had an idea for what the film was going to look like. And then the director kind of was thinking about what would those scenes look like, the things that we couldn't film. And so he brought in an animator and an illustrator who drew the illustrations, and then an animator who animated them to kind of bring us into that world.
Now, when you do a documentary like this, something that's so personal, it must be, I guess you must constantly think about how the people who you've talked to are going to perceive that finished product. I mean, was there always that conscious thing about making something that the people you're interviewing will still be comfortable being able to watch?
I mean, as a filmmaker, I think I mean, and just as a human being, I think you should treat people the way that you would like to be treated. And so I would always hope that, you know, that people would be able to look at a film that I've been involved with and say, yeah, that represents a version of my story, you know, a truth in as much as a film can be. And I wouldn't want to make a choice that would be quote unquote good for the film, but say it was untruthful or not an accurate representation of the person that we were documenting. Which is not to say that I've never had a problem with somebody who's been in one of my films, but I've also never intentionally misrepresented what was being said.
It's interesting you say, you know, an aspect of that truth, because of course a documentary can only be telling a certain amount of sides.
Yes, I mean, and I teach film at university, and you know, it often comes up, what is the difference between fiction and documentary? Well, I mean, there are fewer differences than I would say similarities.
Now, what's next? I mean, you're still living in Tokyo. You are in Tokyo, yes?
I am.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. What's next? You must be working on something else at the moment.
Yeah, so this is actually my first LGBTQ film to be involved with. So I've done all health and medicine. So I've done the Fukushima films. I've done a film about cancer. I've done films about end-of-life care, hospice care. Mm. And I came across a young doctor who's doing her research in... and how LGBTQ issues are being taught at medical schools. So there are 82 medical schools in Japan, and there's never been a real in-depth survey about how LGBTQ issues are being taught there. And so her research is being published in May, and so I've submitted a proposal to the TV station that I work with. I work on a documentary series. I'm hoping to do a film about how LGBTQ medicine is provided in Japan, what services are being offered, what's needed, what the patient experience is.
And if it's never been done before, you're going to be uncovering some very, very interesting stuff.
I mean, I'll be documenting the interesting things that are being uncovered.
Of course,
absolutely. And it's, you know, and my films are always, they're not about Japan bashing at all. It's simply about just offering another point of view about what's happening. And so there are some really, I mean, I've met a lesbian couple who have a child who have had a really wonderful experience working with pediatricians and having a great relationship with their doctors and with their hospitals. And then there are other people that, you know, that have had need of other kinds of services. And so I'm just looking at kind of taking the temperature of the medical services for LGBTQ people.
Well, Boys for Sale is showing, as I said, I think tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. at Event Cinemas, George Street, as part of the Queer Screen Mardi Gras Film Festival. We'll make sure there's a link up on 2scr.com so people can actually go and buy tickets for it and find out a bit more. Ian, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.